between Chicago and Milwaukee lies America's craziest Halloween experience, the Realm of Terror Haunted House. Feel the fear as you encounter one of the most over-the-top haunted houses to ever exist. The Realm of Terror in Round Lake Beach. Chicago Tribune calls a must-see. Tickets on sale now at realmofterror.com. You'll never be the same again.
Want to help support the show? Become a patron. Visit seasonofthewitchcast.com. Sign up to receive discount codes and a free ebook from onlinewiccansupplies.com.
This podcast is sponsored by The Crazy Cast and Human Wire Productions at human-wire.com. And The Gypsy Haven, Elgin's only witch shop at www.thegypsyhaven.com and onlinewiccansupplies.com.
Two witches.
You mean like witchcraft?
Sharing their opinions and beliefs about the practice and theory of magic.
Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch.
Hey guys, this is Feather.
And LaFay.
Welcome back to Season of the Witch.
It's almost Samhain.
How's your October been? I feel like Samhain's already been here. I mean, it's just... I live an entire month
of it, so...
Yeah, this is... Yeah, happy Samhain, guys. That's what we're going to be talking about this evening. I don't know, what's been going on with you for a bit before we jump right in?
Well, it's been a really crazy month. So
yeah, you've been at the haunted house.
Haunted house and moving and...
That's right.
Everything kind of went topsy-turvy for a little bit, so we finally are able to get together and sit down and talk about probably our favorite holiday ever.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people that would say that Yule or Christmas is their favorite holiday, and I really like, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, Mabon and stuff.
True.
But Samhain? That is, yeah. Happy New Year! This is actually the Witch's New Year.
Uh-huh.
It's about to be. It's not quite Samhain yet, but we are really close. So
this veil is as thin as it gets.
Right. Happy freaking Witch's New Year, everybody.
So it's also known as Calan Gaeaf. Okay, I'm just going to... I can't do this. It's Welsh. Okay. So there's a lot of Welsh and Celtic names for it, and I could butcher the hell out of them, but I'm not going to.
Knives, butcher.
Yes. So there's also the Feast of Mongfiend. There's the... Three Nights of the End of Summer. I mean, like, what else? Do you got any other names besides Samhain?
It's just, I still like that All Hallows Eve. I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm a hardcore typo negative fan.
The Third Hallows Harvest.
Eve, right. Yeah, November Eve as well. The Witch's New Year. Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that I recognize, but I'm not as deeply into the pantheons.
There's a lot of historical kind of mishmash names, and as if you look at it, I mean, the etymology of how Halloween grew from, I think I have this somewhere, and it's, as we go through everything, it's like, it's also All Saints Day, or it used to be called All Hallows Mass.
All Saints Day, that's November 1st, though.
Right, so... Well,
there is no...
There, if
and
we go in...
All Souls Day is November 2nd, right?
Right.
You're going to go over a timeline.
Right, so it's all, like, that all kind of mishmashed together.
Okay.
So you start out with, like, just going, jumping into history, because we can kind of get, like we do with most of our podcasts, I mean, we can start with kind of, like, the drier, more fact-based stuff, and then we'll go into more of, like, the fun,
and sometimes
juicy.
The
some people like
the history usually bores me. You know, I'm just being honest, you know, and it's like, oh my god, what kind of witch are you?
Anyway.
You don't know your history. But actually, Samhain does have a lot of really cool history to it.
Yes,
so.
It does. And feel free to chime in.
Oh, I will.
I pretty much have, like, a cut and dry timeline, but more or less with just, like, the really big important things.
Do it.
So,
do it.
Generally, everyone associates the Celts with the ones that started Samhain, and this was, they focused on nighttime being their time passage period instead of, we usually use the daytime, and so this was where it was so important that the new year was when the darkness came back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's where, that's why we consider it the new year instead of something like the, you know, solar new year and whatnot. So around 43 AD is when the Roman Empire really took over the Celts and started indoctrinating them and including their pantheon into the Celts. And pretty much everything is a cultural association from here on out. Mm-hmm. All of the religions, everything start melding and mushing together. Pretty much. So two Roman festivals in particular took place in the fall and that they really started getting included with Samhain. And that's Feralia. And that's where they were doing they commemorated the passing of the dead. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was to honor Pomona, who was the goddess of the fruit trees, especially the apple.
Apples so that's are big. Talk about some lots of apples.
So apples have been associated with Samhain since way back
forever,
43 AD, and even before then. Those fruits in particular have been included, especially because that's they're ripe now. Mm-hmm. You look at the plain and simple facts of what's going to be ripe and ready to be harvested at the third harvest. Those are going to be your plants and vegetables focused primarily around this holiday. Skip forward all the way to 609 AD. We've got the first pope that starts to fuck with everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Christianity has pagan DNA.
Burn.
Yeah. Pope Boniface IV dedicated the Pantheon of Rome in honor of all Christian martyrs, and the Catholic Feast of All Martyrs' Day was established in the Western Church.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is where the Middle English Allo Hallowmessa, meaning All Saints' Day, first got included. And so this is the first Christian origins, and this actually was happening in May. Now we get to Pope Gregory, who was the pope between 731 and 741. So mm-hmm. I don't know when exactly he moved this date in the years, but what I could find was around this was the guy that did it. He expands the festival to include all saints and all martyrs and moves that festival to November 1st.
And second.
Correct? Right. Well, he didn't. In 1000 AD, the church commemorates the second to All Souls' Day. So we've got All Saints Day and then All Souls Day. So first it was just All Saints Day, and then later on All Souls Day got tacked on.
Yeah, and from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but All Saints Day was to commemorate the people that had died and had gone to heaven. And then the All Souls Day was acknowledged for the souls that were pretty much stuck in purgatory and had not gone to heaven yet or whatever. And then that's why they were
developed later.
Was it later? Okay.
So originally, okay, that is true.
Okay.
But I think when they initially started it, All Saints Day, when that was first created, it was for all of the saints and martyrs that had specific days that, or did not have other days commemorated to them. So that was the big thing where, you know, normal Christian, the Catholics had, you know, specific days dedicated to saints throughout the year. Mm-hmm. That day was made for all of the other saints.
Okay. Everybody's important around here.
And then in 1000 AD, when they added All Souls Day, that's when they included the souls of everybody else and had to do the commemoration of the dead passing and everything.
So only their saints go to heaven. Everybody else, you're fucked. You're going to purgatory. Okay.
Sure. Right. So the people that went to heaven, they were already there. All Souls Day, the reason why people went a-souling mm-hmm. was so that the people that were stuck in purgatory, the more prayers that they got, eventually they could ascend to heaven.
Oh, good.
And tithing, maybe?
Exactly.
Oh.
So you had these people that would go around, especially the poor and the impoverished children, mm-hmm. who would go around and offer prayers for the people whose souls were stuck in purgatory.
And wasn't it you did not deny them either because they kind of represented the children, the souls of dead children, and to deny them any type of tithe or gift, you're kind of like asking some dead kid, not literally, but yeah, you're almost afraid to
There was still that superstition of there was inherently, I think, built in this feeling of honoring the dead and everything, and so mm-hmm. you couldn't turn away because you were in fear. You were in constant fear of hell at that point in time. So to deny these representatives that were going to pray for the lost souls and everything. I mean, this was the time when the popes were saying you could buy your way into heaven, basically.
Okay.
So it's just this really...
It was never like that before. Why the fuck we have to throw money into the mix? Okay, sorry.
And money, food, everything. And so it was a bartering system at this point.
Okay, at that point. I'm still following you.
Yeah, and it hasn't gotten into the additional... And again, this is not including the pagan beliefs. This is the very dry, like, the things that they saw historically put down. And so this doesn't... that the Catholics aren't going to write down pagan history.
Right.
So... This is as least pagan-y as it gets for all of that. And then we just keep moving forward from there and gets into the good, juicy stuff.
Okay.
So you've got the 1600s where pretty much this only existed in Europe because the Puritans over in America had nothing to do with it. Because after Martin Luther tried to separate, there was this whole weird church and thing. So everyone was trying to do their own religious things. And then we get into Guy Fawkes Day, which is like I love this. I love that. Dressing up was because for anyone who doesn't know who Guy Fawkes was, he was a member of the Gunpowder Plot who was arrested guarding explosives trying to kill the king. Because that plot was figured out, they hung and, you know, completely embarrassed the hell out of Guy Fawkes. And so the king made this commemorative celebration every year on November 5th for the, you know, failure of the plot to kill him.
And wasn't he, like, under his house or something?
He was. He was beneath the House of the Lords.
Right.
So
yeah, with all this ammunition.
Just this huge pile of explosives. Why? So, towards the end of the 18th century, the children started begging for money with the effigies of Guy Fawkes, and it started gradually becoming Guy Fawkes Day. So, the whole point was they were making fun of him at first, and then it morphed into this thing where they started dressing like him, and then it turned into this thing where they started rebelling and becoming, insane with all these different tricks and everything. And so, this whole period of time was full of mischief, regardless. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
and they actually called it Mischief Night.
Mischief Night.
Right.
Exactly. Yep. And so we've got all of this time where it's the dead are around and the kids are up in arms and everything and everyone's running amok at this time specifically,
the 5th of November.
Did you? Yeah. I have. Children can be creepy.
Yes.
Sometimes.
They can.
I fucking love scary kids. And I'm totally going off topic. Yeah, wouldn't that be kind of a cool concept as to why they're being such little shitheads and assholes and scaring us? Is because
fairies
they're
are getting
actually,
into them.
Yeah, they're like possessed and shit.
I could totally see it. I mean, okay.
Following that train of thought,
I could totally believe it because if the veil is supposed to be at the thinnest at this time, and if children and older
people,
they're
the most vulnerable.
Exactly, they are the closest to that veil. It would make sense on why they're getting so rambunctious, and why there is so much football, like all the things that happen in the fall. You think about that energy that's being built into it.
Ooh. Don't freak me out.
So,
okay, Sal Man.
By 18, this is gonna be a fun episode. Sounds 1895. Guising starts to be really acknowledged in Scotland, where masqueraders would go around with different lanterns made out of scooped out turnips.
Turnips with charcoal, glowing charcoal, wasn't it?
That's creepy. The actual jack-o'-lanterns are...
It's only this big.
Dude, they can get this big.
Oh, really?
They can get to be the size of, like, a small like a baby's head.
Oh, shit, I did not know that.
They don't taste good that way, but you can eat them that way, and if that's your primary source of food...
Okay, yeah, little turnips carved out, and those can't be easy. Those are hard.
Those are really hard. Well, why do you think they moved to pumpkins?
I thought they moved to pumpkins because they didn't have access to the turnips anymore, so they had to
morph
into something new.
They came over to America and they didn't have the same kind of turnips, but they also found that it was easier to carve other vegetables.
Okay,
fruits technically.
History.
Oh, I'm such a nerd.
Cool story, bro.
The entire time they're going around, still praying for people. It's still All Saints Day. It's still all this, but that's when they started to include the guises, partially so that they wouldn't get caught if they were doing mischievous things. And then there was also the fear of the dead and the fear. And you can actually go in and explain this one really well and succinctly about why we wear masks around this time.
There is still
yeah, but that was... Are we still talking about the super Christian era? Are we still... going back to the pagan?
We are in Scotland right now. So Scotland in general was less indoctrinated with the hardcore Christianity, and they maintained a lot more of the pagan belief system. Okay. So yes. They maintained that part of it was to hide their actions, but they also, this belief system was older and followed through.
Well, a lot of the folk back then too also believed heavily in the fae and fairies.
And they still did throughout all of this. Right. Like the Catholics had a really hard time stomping out those belief systems.
And they didn't do a very good job at it because it's still alive and well. But yeah, to dress up back in the day, they weren't all like sexy slutty nurses and you know school teachers that would spank you with stiletto heels and shit. They actually take that shit off. Okay, thank you. No, they would dress up and as scary as they possibly could. Mm-hmm. And this was in hopes to scare the fae off. You know, it was because the thinness of the veil and the communication with the spirits and them walking around, people were afraid that they would come into their homes, you know, kidnap your kids and all this crazy shit. So people would dress up and even go to the outskirts of town, you know, even with their big fires, in hopes that the fae would stay in the forest and not come into their villages and into the communities. I mean, I dress up a certain way still, but not necessarily because I'm a huge believer in the fae, but even walking through a cemetery around this time of year, and I do it for reasons. I don't know if you want to talk about that later or not.
Oh, yeah, but we'll go into it.
Now or later?
Now or later?
Why not?
Now or later?
Let's go for
candy.
It.
Candy.
No. Even...
Just say it.
You know, typically when I walk through graveyards, you know, it's no big deal because I enjoy, you know, mingling with the spirits. But this time of year in Samhain, even last night I walked through and I had on a mask of a raven. And
it was gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
You looked very picturesque, I can't lie.
Thank you. But it was more of a matter of, okay, I know that the cemetery is larger than life this time of year. You know, especially on I can't talk today. The eve of Samhain. But even being this close, being amidst that many spirits romping around, your chances of a couple of them attaching themselves to you and then wanting to come home with you is a little more likely than any other time of the year. So by when attaches itself to the underside of my car and follows me home and then kills me. No, but if I'm wearing a mask when I'm romping around, they won't recognize me. They can't, you know, outside
they
the cemetery.
Can't attach it.
Exactly.
It's kind of like you're creating a wearable circle.
Well, I actually do that before I go and do anything anyway, but to a sense.
It's another layer.
Right.
I would just say,
right.
I mean, the things that you do to create that boundary between you and...
I just want to go play and have fun with them. I don't want it to be all like, you know, turn to a murder scene in the middle of a cemetery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, typically back in the day, they did not dress up sexy and cute and pretty. They were scary.
There's actually...
For reasons.
Really cool thing that I want to do someday. Okay. And it would be kind of tough because it's called the Mari Leard. It's a Welsh... It's basically this... It's what the Welsh would do. And it's kind of dressing up like a hobby horse.
Okay.
They get the skull of a horse and then wear this white tarp behind it and decorate the horse's head and everything.
And they got the jaws that slap together.
Yes. Yeah. And it's terrifying.
Yeah. That's cool though.
And it's gorgeous. And it's like, this was at least happening since like the 16th century. So whatever it was to scare off the old spirits and it was to bring good fortune and to, I mean, like there was parades that would go around and they would bring this horse head around and dance through the, in the, dance through the streets and everything, and they would, you know, light the bonfire, the communal bonfire, and it was all of these huge collective things to bring in the good energy and push away the bad energy, because...
But party time. But it's funny that you have both sides of it, because you have certain, you know, people that believe in, you know, you've got your people that believe in fairies, you know, and I don't know if it was Celts or who it was, but what about, like, the Huntsman? The Huntsman was a really cool story back in the day, you know, of that where the Headless Horseman derived from.
Right.
And still to this day, we've got the Headless Horseman all over the place. But that wasn't meant to scare things off. That was to scare you.
Right.
You know, that was like, you know, because the Headless Horseman or the Huntsman or even the King of the Fae, you know, you didn't want to be caught traveling by yourself, because they would chase the fuck out of you, you know, and like terrorize you and stuff. And then to turn around and have festivals where you've got this big monster hobhorse
terrifying thing,
that's just badass. But you just said that they use it not only to scare things away, but to bring in good things.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's cool.
It's so back and forth. And I love that duality. And that's really what Samhain's all about, I feel like. Because you had this great explanation last night explaining about how this is, it's not selfish in any sense, because you are so focused on paying respect and homage to your ancestors, the ones who have passed, the ones who are crossing over. But in juxtaposition, you then go and enjoy yourself, because you want to celebrate that life as much as the life and death that has happened.
Well, and, you know, I'm not going to speak for all witches, but in general, for the most part, and we are totally straying off history, but that's okay, because we'll come back to shit.
It'll all roll around.
When this time of year, it's so much fun, because there's so many things to do between romping through pumpkin patches and making apple pies and decorating houses and all this stuff that... oh my God, I just got a complete brain fart. That on the actual eve of Samhain, that is the night that you, just like you said that we spoke about last night, it is not about the parties. It is not about the candy and the trick-or-treating. It is about your shrine, your altar, you working with the deceased, with your ancestors. You know, any other night before or after, you go to your parties, you get drunk off your ass, and you play all these games, and we do that too.
Yeah.
It's not like witches only do this serious shit on Samhain, you know?
It's not all somber. It doesn't have to be all somber. It is a serious time.
Right, but
you can get serious drunk too.
For the most part,
like witch talk to me.
Practicing witches, actually the eve of Samhain, you will find them at home, or doing something with dead people or their ancestors, not off at parties.
Which is great this year, actually, because it's a Sunday night.
I know.
It's like, that's a perfect time for me. I can be very quiet in my thing.
I may go back to the graveyard. I don't know. Uh-huh. But anyway. Okay,
back to history.
Right.
The 1800s, and I will say that the Irish and the Scottish, they definitely were the big proponents for what making Samhain what it is today. Like, their traditions and beliefs. Because Herne the Hunter turned into the Huntsman.
Right.
And, like, that was Shakespearean. And, like, all of these great little things that kind of... The nuggets of that... Their basic pantheons and everything. It just kept going. And so, after...
And it still scares the shit out of people nowadays.
Absolutely. Cool. And so... Up until the Irish famine, America didn't have a huge thing about Halloween in it. And, you know, even over in Europe, it wasn't the biggest. It was more like small collective. Like, it didn't go into the cities as much. It was very rural. Smaller towns did it. But as people moved into the cities, it didn't really get popularized there. And that's still kind of the case in Europe today. Halloween is not a big thing there. They don't celebrate it nearly like America does. So it's funny that, you know, up until...
That's because us greedy American bitches just found a perfect opportunity to make a buttload of money off of a pagan holiday.
Yo, $6 billion a year industry.
Right.
So...
Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, by 1911, Kingston, Ontario is the first place that actually recognizes kids going around guising in the neighborhood. And so that's when they first started, I guess, enough Irish moved and came out and started doing things. But it was after that, that's pretty much when it started to become popularized. But Mischief Night really was the big pushing thing for Halloween to become accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling it Halloween because now I'm talking about the Americanized, capitalized concept. So right. I hope that that differentiation makes sense.
And the funny thing about it is that when those little kids were romping around, you know, going to your door and begging for a couple cents, you know, they, for Mischief Night, that's what they were doing it for, because they were into fireworks.
Yes.
And so they just wanted, you know, a couple cents here or there.
Yeah, exactly.
So the following evening, they can blow shit up.
Right. And then there was a Better Homes and Garden article, apparently, that was released. And I've heard some back and forth on this, so it might be an urban legend. It might be true. But supposedly some woman wrote an article saying of, like, how much success she had by buying off the kids with sweets to keep them from vandalizing her house during Mischief Night.
Okay.
So whether or not that's actually the case, it's just one of those things where more and more cities started to do these collective group activities to keep the kids busy so that they wouldn't be running around being little jackasses.
Well, you can definitely get more flies with honey than with vinegar. I mean, just imagine the old man that's all pissy when he opens the door and swears at the kids. You know, the next morning he wakes up and his whole house has been egged and TP'd and trash all over everything.
One of my favorite Trick or Treat, one of my favorite Halloween movies of all time. That one always reminds me of that old man. So, 1921, I will say Anoka, Minnesota. So, Halloween came from the north and slowly spread southwards. So, screw all the south for saying that that its origin is down there. Haunted houses, we have a little bit of a kind of rivalry. So, after that, I mean, like, 1921, from then on, it starts moving forward, and we get more and more cities that recognize it. Anaheim, California has its first Halloween parade in 1924. By 1938, that's when War of the Worlds was aired for the first time, the night before, on Mischief Night. And that pretty much set the tone for what was scary and what was supposed to be expected during Halloween. So that was the mini story, the mini history, and then after that it turns into a commercial, ridiculous bomb fest, and we forget what it's all about.
And that's it frustrates me sometimes, because the Catholics tried so hard to get the pagans to forget about, you know, the true meaning of Samhain. Right?
Make it evil, demonize it, do all of that.
They were not successful. They were so unsuccessful that they had to keep flip-flopping their dates around and trying to drown out the pagan holidays, the pagan festivals, with their own. You know, trying to
keep dumping more and more crap on it.
But again, it never worked. So nowadays... But what's going on nowadays is that, what is it being drowned out by?
Commercialism.
Parties. Yes. Parties and booze and high heels and candy
more money, right?
And everything else.
Trick-or-treating at 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And Halloween being banned from schools. And it's funny that they're trying to use this whole, we're afraid Halloween will offend the Wiccans. That was one school's reason for banning
Halloween, it
was going to offend the pagan community if we celebrated Halloween at our school.
Were there not any Wiccans to stand up at the school and say, what the fuck are you talking about?
Probably not.
Okay,
sorry.
Whatever.
Little side vent.
Okay, yeah. Don't go there.
Okay. I like my Halloween and my Samhain.
Let's,
two separate things.
Okay, why don't we kind of... Well, we'll get to some activities and stuff, you know, all the fun shit, but let's talk for a minute about some serious stuff. Why don't we talk about setting up an altar for our
symbols and plants and herbs and all the things we associate with it.
All right, because...
Do our back and forth lists.
We highly, highly encourage, you know, because this is the time of year again, and Sabbats are more for rituals and celebrations kind
bigger.
Of thing.
Build
an altar, really. Just, you don't even have to have, like, jack-o'-lanterns and that kind of shit on it. Do it what you see in the movies when you look at the Catholics and they're lighting these candles in the church and they're saying
have
saints.
Have fun with it.
But an altar
got time for that.
To,
yes, they do.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's really cool. Just a small table with pictures of your loved ones, you know, whether they be human or animals, and some candles and some prayers that go along with it. It could be that simple or as complex as you want it to be, but just have something, because all the stuff that we're going to talk about with Samhain, with Halloween, 99% of it, it's so easy to get sucked into the fun part of it.
Easily.
But we lose that true 1% of what we really, really should be concentrating on. And even if it's just for one night and then 10 nights in a row before or after, you go, you party your ass off, then so be it. But for that 1% of your time for this Sabbath, make an altar. Okay?
Take your time.
Yeah. And it's a time to actually sit down, and even if you don't want to go as deep as to, like, inviting them into your home and actually having a conversation with them.
You don't have to host a dumb supper.
No, but those are fun things to do.
We'll talk about
it
later.
Even if you don't go that far, it just to sit in front of that table and light those candles and look at the pictures and remember stories and make yourself cry and make yourself laugh and know who you came from and the people that have affected your life. Just that 1% of your time, it's that right there is the primary thing that you really, really should do, in my opinion, which, you know, for whatever that's worth, in my opinion, that is the core behind Samhain, is that on external, you know, remembering people, you know, your ancestors and your pets. I'm not talking, I mean, the other part of the core part is your own spiritual transformation, you know, which we'll talk about that too. But just setting up that altar. So, growing on that, what color altar cloths would you use for the season?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, I wanted to let you finish your thing. It was like I didn't want to jump in, but so overthinking this, and I might not be the only one here. So there's a lot of people who may not have pictures of their past pets, may not have, you know, for whatever reason. I was brainstorming that today because I don't have certain memorabilia for certain people, and
sure.
I want it. So I'm thinking of just doing a nice little framed Theban written out of their name.
Sure, it could be a candle with their name scribbled on it.
Right, something that just in your mind represents them.
Mm-hmm.
As long as that's the little bit.
Even, you know, it could be your grandpa and he died when you were 7 and you don't remember anything about him, but one joke he used to tell you over and over and over again. Write that little joke down.
Perfect.
You know, and put it right there in front of the candle. If that's all you remember about him, he's somebody that used to make you laugh or smile, you know? You're reflecting back on the memories of that person and how they affected you.
That was easy.
Yeah, you don't have to have grand things, you know, and this whole their diary in front of you. No, just something.
That was, like, I just wanted to finish up on that little blip, because then I can move on to colors.
Okay. So, what colors would you typically use?
I mean, like, the stereotypical one, like, first thought is black.
Right.
I mean, everyone knows that is, you know, they kind of go with that as Samhain major color. So there's also orange, also white. I like using white or bone white for certain things because then it does remind me of that.
That reminds me more of a silver because silver is a big color for it too.
And then gold?
Yeah. Any still of your autumn colors, your orange, your yellows, your browns, you know.
Reds.
But not necessarily gold, okay? Because it's not a gold month.
No.
It's a silver month.
That makes sense.
All right.
I'm thinking more like brass or...
Yeah, black, brown, gray, orange, yellow, silver.
Okay.
And even with mine...
Purple for...
Really any... Yeah. Probably more of a dark purple rather than a light pastel. But even with my ancestor altar, I mean, my altar is kind of an accumulation of all kinds of stuff, you know.
It's
but
very
I still
pretty.
Have, thank you. I still have my, you know, some family and my pets. But I didn't want to go with black for mine simply because when I'm looking at these things, I already start getting, you know, a little tug at the heartstrings and stuff, and it starts to make me, I miss you. And the color black brings me to too dark of a place. So mine is more, what color would you say? Like a yellow orange?
Yeah, it's like a burnt yellow.
Yeah. So it doesn't always have to be black.
No, it's, and then I think it also, like we've said in previous previous examples, colors are not necessarily exactly for what, it's not a textbook thing. If you associate death with the color orange, because
light green, it doesn't matter.
Then, whatever. Or transformation, or, you know, you really want to focus on the veil portion of it. So you are going with all, you know, I like calling them bruise colors, but like blues and purples and anything that you represent with that magical colors, then that's whatever floats your boat.
Oh shit. Blasted right in my right ear. It almost made me shit myself. Okay, from colors, just because we were talking about silver, color silver, to metals that go with Samhain, silver and iron.
Yeah, okay. Especially with the fairies.
You got it. Right on with the iron. So
that's the main thing I always associate with fairies is how to ward them off.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, even though, you know, depending on the story behind everything, typically the goddess is going to the underworld because the god has died. You know, so, and that's supposedly how the veil gets thinner is when she goes
moving
into the underworld. So, and we're going to talk about the crone and the death of all kinds of stuff. But I think that's one of the reasons why I think more of silver also, less gold.
Very feminine. This is a very female oriented.
Right.
Which is kind of cool because I've got some, like, I was reading a lot about sex magic on this one.
Hey, babe. All right. What do you want to talk about next?
Do we want to go into plants, herbs, and foods?
Let's, before, because those can get big.
Yeah, it's true.
What about some of the smaller things that you would put outside of those main things? Like, what are some symbols, some tools of this time of year?
Okay, besom is definitely a huge one.
The besom,
so your
broom. And that's used, well, not only for cleansing a space, but stereotypical, you think of witches flying on brooms.
Right.
So, cauldrons?
Yes, for the transformation.
Right. Exactly. That is when the goddess goes to the underworld, okay, because she's mourning the death of the god. That's one part of the cauldron. Also, when you think of Halloween, you think of the green witch. Right.
The black cat.
The black cats. Yes.
Actually, that was also for when the women, when the witches were trying to hide and become, or when they were transformed. And then there was also Hecate, or Hecate, both ways of saying it. One of her familiars, besides, it was the polecat, the dog, and the black cat.
And Raven.
And the Raven.
Raven. Spiders are a big common one. In fact, I've got spider on my altar right now, too.
Blades.
And then,
blades of any kind. I know that the, totally spacing out. It's not the, I mean, the athame is one, but then you've also
bowling? Got
your bowling. Bowling is more important. I like sickles.
Well, this is like the last sheet of corn is cut.
The harvest
and,
is
right,
over.
It is done. So
you hang up your sickle for the season.
It is. You're not going to be looking at it anymore. And you take that last piece and you kind of bless it and go put it back out in the field and say, please, you know, give us a good upcoming year. Masks, obviously.
Yes.
You know, not only for scaring away bad things, but also your typical representation of Halloween. Most people, you don't see their blank face, but. Okay. Anything else before the herbs and stews and
it's kind of,
how about some of the deities?
Okay, so yes. All right, so gods and goddesses, because I will separate this. So we do have a lot of mischievous gods included in this one. So they like to use Loki and Eris and Pan and Osiris. And we've got the horned god and Hearn the hunter. Cernunnos.
Yes.
Anubis. Odin.
Dagda.
Yes.
Dagda.
Okay. Bran.
Brim?
Bran.
Bran.
Bran. Bran. Okay. It's, I think that's an English-based guy. And then Coyote, also, for tricking.
Of course.
So pretty much a lot of the deities that died and rose. That's the really big focus, because the Lord is now dead, and right. He will be rising.
Well, he's reborn in... Yule.
Yes.
Yule. He's waiting for the...
So he has passed, and this is the time where pretty much...
It's kind of sad.
The lady is on her own for this little bit, and she is in mourning.
Well, that's... Yeah, one of the archetypes is, you know, the crone and the grieving mother, the grieving wife, you know, the grieving goddess, you could say, even.
Right.
You know, and then we talked about her last night, too. Another archetype of it is the lady in white, talking about when... And you told me who she was.
Caradwen.
Caradwen. Right. She kind of falls in that same category as the Headless Horseman and all that good
right.
stuff.
Right. Kind of scary ladies. Which is actually cool, because the goddesses that are associated with it, we've got Persephone and Demeter and Hecate, which are your... kind of the first three that went into the triple god... Like, the Greek... Really strong. I mean, like, triple goddess... pantheons have existed in a lot of different times and religions and regions, but that's one that is like well documented and well described as like the maid, the mother and the crone, because you've got Persephone, who is down in Hades, Demeter, who is escorted down to Hades by Hecate. So you've got all three of them.
And a couple of my favorites, because I have a list of them too, but my favorite's the Morrigan. Morrigan. She's real big. And Maka, she's an aspect of face of the Morrigan. And Lilith.
Yes.
Oh,
that lady.
Anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge fan of Lilith, even though I will never, ever, you know, have...
Work
like,
directly
any,
with
no,
her.
I will not work directly with her. I have, yeah.
We like learning about Lilith.
Right. But she's amazing. Who else?
Kali.
Yeah. Ooh, Kali's a big one.
Crazy lady. Yeah, pretty much.
Rhiannon.
Yes, and Arinhod.
I don't know who that is.
I believe she's Welsh.
Hel. Did you say Hel?
No, I did not. Which is
Hel?
Yeah, waiting for her. The Norse deity.
Isis is actually... Did you say Isis yet?
I did not.
No, Isis is a goddess of...
Inanna.
Yep. Mari? M-A-R-I?
Pomona.
Yep. How about, have you ever heard one called Psyche? P-S-Y-C-H-E? Psyche?
Yes. That was, I think, Dreams? She was like a little sub-deity in either Roman or Greek. I can't remember, but she was like, she's got like one story about her.
Okay. What about Samana? Samana? S-A-M-A-N-A?
Mm-mm.
Samana. I don't know.
Sounds pretty.
Yeah. I don't know.
Very quiet, pretty song.
And then on the nastier side of the pretty, you know, strong, you know, what the Christians tried to turn all of the goddesses into, you know, you've got things like the witch and the changeling, just some of the darker things. That's the Grim Reaper. You know, you'll hear a lot about the Grim Reaper right now. And these weren't necessarily Christian-based, but the Wild Hunt came about.
Yeah. Shakespeare, actually, was the first one that started talking about Herne the Hunter.
Herne
the Hunter? H-E-R-N-E.
Herne the Hunter.
Yes.
Was that... Okay.
So
that was Shakespeare?
Well, he was the first one that wrote about it. So there was, I'm sure, because there was the Herne Oak. There was all sorts of different information... So yeah, there's a lot of information about like possible places that this actually existed, and there was Windsor Park and everything. So it's just this location in the middle of England that was really popularized with ghost sightings and everything. And so,
cool.
But banshees are also heavily included with Samhain. So that's makes a lot of sense. You expect to see banshees kind of floating around in the mists and the moors and everything, getting people to follow them off into their death.
Kind of like the crazy clowns?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a...
those are basically some deities that you can work with.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Do your homework, though.
Right, on which who you want to work with.
Especially if, because this is the time of year where we are becoming vulnerable to
influence.
Do divination and magic. It's huge for this Sabbat. So before working with any type of deity, please, please, please do yourself a favor and do some homework. You know, we have given you some options, some names to look into, you know, to work with. But they're not all the same.
No, they're like very Lilith different. And Baba Yaga and
Kali.
Yeah. I mean, Rhiannon is definitely kind of a safe, happy.
But that's in your opinion.
That's like somebody else could have a really bad experience with
right.
her.
Right. So because this is going into other things that we can and are encouraged to do this time of year. Which is a lot of divination.
That's going to be my biggest plan this time around.
So, again, when working with your deities, please do your homework first. All right, now we can get into your herbs if you want to. Yeah, the good smelling stuff.
So we've got food, we've got herbs, and we've got plants. And I can just kind of mix them up together. But for incense-based things that I would expect to want to smell or see or... etc.
Pretty smelling things like yes. cinnamon and clove.
I can smell you.
We've got mugwort, which you want to be kind of careful about using too much of, but it's definitely a divination heavy guy.
Well, that yeah, and on mugwort, yeah, even with working again, I just kind of like said, be careful about
safe
your
disclaimers.
Yeah. When it comes to working with certain herbs, like what you just said, mm-hmm. mugwort, you need to know your contraindications for herbs too. Okay. Mugwort, anybody who's pregnant, stay the fuck away from mugwort.
Yes.
Okay. So, because mugwort is one of the number one herbs that
expectorant.
We ingest. Right. this season right here for divination work.
Right.
So anybody out there, any ladies out there who are pregnant, you know, and still want to do work with divination and scrying and that kind of stuff, please do not drink anything with mugwort in it.
Yes.
Okay.
No, and I'm glad you have that disclaimer because you need to know that.
Right.
Allspice.
Nice. Allspice.
Something you can find in your kitchen.
Myrrh, rosemary.
Catnip.
Yeah. Sage and wormwood.
Mandrake. I don't know if mandrake is... I don't know the rules on that guy. I don't use it too often.
Wow.
Yarrow.
Wormwood. Another one with some disclaimers. Mm-hmm. Be very careful with it.
Broom.
Oh, yeah. That's a really pretty flower.
Mm-hmm.
Straw, actually.
Dittany of Crete.
I haven't seen that. I haven't used that. I actually haven't played with that one.
No.
It's
I don't even know if we have any. We may have some at the show.
Maybe that's
why. Remember.
Apple, if you can get apple.
Yeah, these are some, pine needles.
Oh,
copal.
Heliotrope. Pine and dragon's blood and hyssop.
Hyssop's nice.
Patchouli.
That rocks right up top. With probably one of my favorite herbs is patchouli. I could like drink that shit. But anyway, I actually made my Samhain.
It's awesome.
Herb, and if you want, I'll give you the recipe to it.
Heck
if
yeah.
You want it. Thing is they were all fresh. So you can go to the grocery store and buy fresh ones. But actually contained 5 different Samhain herbs. Okay. And it smells wonderful. And it contains catmint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rosemary.
Is that different than catnip?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, just making sure people know
right.
that it's not catnip. Those are 2 different things.
No, it is. It's a stronger mint.
Nice.
Okay. Rosemary, rue, sage, and thyme. So those 5
start
things
singing that.
Make it's like Scarborough Fair. Yeah, so if you take those 5 herbs, buy them fresh at the grocery store, dry them out, you know.
It smells amazing.
Yeah, crumble those up. It's a really, really nice Samhain herbal incense mixture.
All right, so we've got, how about stones?
We can go to stones. I don't have that many. In fact, I only have 3 of these on my altar right now. but go ahead.
Okay, so pretty much everything black.
Like your jet, your obsidian, your onyx, your tourmaline. I also have carnelian.
Mm-hmm. Pyrite.
And moonstone.
And smoky quartz.
And that's, yeah, these are all the ones.
And amber and garnet and marble and sandstone. And then we've got iron and gold, which, or not gold, not iron gold. And silver.
Right.
And then hematite. I don't think we mentioned hematite.
Okay.
So your reds and your blacks, if you want to go with just simple color associations for the most part.
And again, I mean, we use mostly the black because of the protection. Right. Because even though this is a really, really cool time of year, we definitely want protection is going to be a key word, and we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, like, if I were to want to boost my divination, I mean, look for things that are divination boosting. I mean, your amethyst might be nice if you can get a nice dark one.
Mm-hmm. That would be my labradorite.
Right, and that I was about to say, is that's the next one that I would say. And then I've got my rhodonite, not my rhodonite, it's my watermelon, my red tourmaline.
Tourmaline. Okay.
So, there we go. I'm, like, starting to, like, just have words.
I have three different tarot on my altar right now, too. Who do I have? I have the High Priestess. Mm-hmm. I have the Wheel of Fortune and the Death card.
Yes.
All three of those guys are...
I still have to figure out which ones I'm going to do. It'll figure itself out when I'm building it. Yeah. I'm still unpacking everything.
All right.
Food! My favorites!
You know, you probably have things outside of the norm. I mean, I've got your apples, pumpkin, raw nuts, roasted nuts.
Mulled wine.
Fermented foods.
Yes,
right?
Fermented foods, anything that's been pickled or anything that's been harvested and put away for the winter.
That's okay. Good.
Yeah, let that shit cook.
And then there's cakes for the dead or pan de muertos.
Right.
Pomegranates.
You really, really like pomegranates,
but that's Persephone.
You? Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's
the big
Persephone.
Persephone. Yes.
Okay.
Pomegranates and apples tend to be kind of intermixed because they're both seasonally already around the same time, and they're about the same size, and so they're interchangeable a lot of the times.
And I know that I'm going to be straying for a minute,
but
talking about apples, because I kind of talked about this last night also with the clan, but apples, you're going to see more and more, just like what you said. I mean, this is the perfect time to harvest them, you know. They're at their peak, but also they were used a lot in the Halloween games
back in the days.
And if you think about it, apples were used in almost everything, and it was more or less for the unattached young adults, okay? And back in the day when they had their games, especially around Samhain, and you went to these festivals and stuff, a lot of the games revolving around apples would determine back then who you were going to marry.
Yep.
You know?
The huge divination play. I've got it broken down on, like, all the things you can do with apples.
Right. The difference between back then and now, because people still use apples in their games, you know, you still hear of people that bob for apples, or they hang apples from you know, a string, and they're trying to with their teeth and that kind of stuff. But ultimately what it said was that, you know, back then, again, who you were going to marry. Now it's, is anybody going to marry, you know, or it's not necessarily that you're going to find your mate. It may be more, instead of who you're going to marry, it's like your upcoming boyfriend or
how
something.
Is your next relationship going to do? And that is, like, there's a couple different ways of finding that. We'll go deeper into that. Right. But meat, we want to eat lots and lots of meat, because this is the time when...
Fatten up,
and your animals are being brought in from the fields. So you only have X amount of space in your house, so you're going to...
I like to sleep with my goats.
That's what actually would happen a lot of times.
Yeah. So bring the horse in the living room. We're going to watch a movie.
And then red foods, beets, pretty much a lot of the root vegetables that were the last to be harvested. So potatoes, a lot of the bigger guys, turnips.
Okay.
And then hazelnuts were a big one.
Nuts.
Nuts of all kinds.
Raw nuts, roasted nuts, man nuts.
These nuts?
Nuts. Okay. These nuts. These nuts.
Okay. And then, so do we want to go into divination practices with food? I could go into that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Go for it.
So we were talking about the apples.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that they used to do this, it was kind of cool, is they would peel an apple, keeping it all in one piece if they can.
Right.
And if the peel came off, as soon as the peel came off, they would drop it on the floor. And the peels were supposed to create the initials. Of who the person was going, who you were going to marry.
It was like the first letter or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, I read about that too. And now it's, instead of just throwing it, I think it, that actually has stayed alive, but now you throw it over your shoulder.
Right. And there's that one too.
Okay.
And then there's the spinning. Your A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You do the alphabet with the,
With the little stem.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my God. I used to do that when I was in like,
I did that all
school.
The time. So it's like, that's still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if the girl has more than one potential lover, peel an apple and pull out the seeds. Place a wet seed on your cheek for each boyfriend. The last one stuck to the skin represents the suitor who is true of the most true of love.
You could do it to your eyes too. Couldn't you? Your eyelids?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much any part of your face.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, like, it's really just whoever sticks longer.
Cool, right?
And then the last one that I have for apples is wait until midnight on Samhain, cut an apple into 9 pieces. Take the pieces into a dark room with a mirror, either hanging on the wall or handheld. At midnight, begin eating the pieces of apple while looking into the mirror. When you get to the 9th piece, throw it over your shoulder. The face of your lover should appear in the mirror. I swear that's like,
I would scream and run the fuck out of the bathroom.
I think that's where Bloody Mary came from.
Okay, probably.
So there's this weird thing.
I would never eat apples again if faces started to appear. Okay, no, I'm joking. That would actually be pretty badass.
Foretelling with other foods. So we've got the Scottish bannock divination, which is really interesting. So
tea leaf reading.
Oh, yes. Tea leaf reading.
Yes.
With the bannock thing, though, she would... Oh, there's all sorts of... Yeah, and then there's one where you would take 2 filberts. So the filbert is like an English nut, so kind of like a hazelnut or something. And at midnight, you place them over the grate or in an oven or something. Mm-hmm. And if they burn well next to each other, or if you put them in the oven, they'll explode. So you put them over the fire, and if they don't interact poorly with each other, they don't explode off of each other or anything, then the relationship that you're in will go well.
Right.
If they explode all over the place or they knock into each other or whatever, it means that you have a tumultuous relationship.
Yeah, I read before they had ovens, they would do the same thing into the big bonfires.
Mm-hmm.
Know, just like poof kind of thing. But
and then
sorry, stop it.
Okay, so then there was, you know, the eggs that they would work with, and then the hazelnuts you could turn into a pendulum, and water scrying with different things.
They would also scry with, because we all love fire, but instead of looking at the flames themselves, you know, up top and how they were all pretty and sexy and shit, you actually look at the coals.
Yes.
To scry with, to divine with. What else you got?
Oh, well, those are, like, the main food ones that I can tell.
Okay. Yeah.
For the moment.
Yeah, even with the eggs, because we did something more of an aura cleansing, but it was kind of like rubbing the egg all over your, every inch of your body. Hey, get kinky with some eggs. And then you would crack it open into a dish of water. And then we had fun, and we were, I got something on me. By looking at the patterns that it would make in the water. That's a form of divination, too.
Right, and that's one of the... They could see if there was supposed to be your mate or if it was... Yeah, I like the... It's all a lot of tea leaves and a lot of the other ones where you're supposed to be able to see the future of your husband. And, I mean, like, I think most of these came out when finding a husband in the next year was really important.
Because at 13, you die an old hag.
Right.
Right. Okay. I actually have something here too, because you were doing, some fun divination things, and this is actually, divination potion.
Ooh.
If you would like to hear about the divination potion for Samhain. And basically, it's going to be a tea that you're going to drink, And it, what it does is it helps relax you to the point where you're not thinking so hard.
Nice.
So you would rock on
this.
Yeah. You cannot drive for up to an hour after you drank it.
Fair enough.
Okay?
So this is what you do when you're ready to settle in for the night.
Right. Before you do your tarot or before any type of divination, so that you're actually pulling more images from your subconscious rather than from your conscious mind.
Very cool.
Okay. And okay, so you're not allowed to drive for at least an hour after you drank it, and you're only allowed to have 3 cups.
Okay.
Okay. So note that. All right. But all it consists of, the recipe for it is, I don't know if you've ever heard of kava kava root,
mm-hmm.
but you want a tincture made of kava kava. So you're going to want 10 drops of kava tincture.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to want a teaspoon of mugwort.
Okay.
And we already talked about mugwort.
Be careful with this.
Pregnant, you will not be drinking this divination potion. You want a teaspoon of meadow sweet.
That one is a calming one, naturally. Like, I know people take meadowsweet just to relax themselves naturally.
Mm-hmm. And for taste, because we know that any of these teas taste like asshole, you know, use some dried orange peel, you know.
Also, mind clearing. Would mint help at all, or would that be too much, do you think?
You probably could add any type of a flavorant. I would... For me, instead of adding something like that, I would probably use a stevia leaf for a little bit of sweetness.
Yeah.
It's a natural sweetener. These ingredients to 1 cup of boiling water.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to want to steep it for about 7 to 13 minutes. Steeping means putting it in a little thing. You can actually just pour the water over it.
Right.
But you need to let it cook for 7 to 13 minutes. Then you're going to want to strain out all the herbs and good stuff. And then you want to let it cool.
Right.
You know, almost room temperature before you drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that you.
This sounds
probably,
like I need it.
Yeah, maybe we should do a like.
It's like a night for Sunday.
Right, exactly.
Like, I got nothing planned this weekend.
I know. So what we have not talked about, okay, is. But we have talked about it before even...
We've been kind of wrapping around it.
Is, what the fuck... Okay, all this is fun stuff. What should we really be concentrating on? What are the keywords for, you know, the focus?
Yes, the things to keep in mind.
One of my biggest is facing challenges and fears. Fears not only... of death,
mm-hmm.
because this is kind of the season of death. I mean, we're talking about the thinness of the veil. We're talking about spirits walking around, you know, fairies chasing us through the forest and all this kind of stuff. So we're talking a lot about death, but not necessarily in a literal sense.
Transformation.
It is transformation. This is our new year, correct?
Right.
So we've had 365 days to be... that over there. So now, just like we spoke about in our Ezbot, we are the snake that sheds the skin mm-hmm. of those past 365 days, and we're about to be reborn. But before you do that, you have to face things about yourself. You know, and a lot of times we don't want to do that.
Right.
It's scary. There are changes that you have to make. It doesn't matter how proud of yourself you are. Yes, you get a fucking cookie and, you know, a big pat on the back, but now it's a brand new year. A new year's coming, so we have to understand where we've come from, what we've done, and who we need to become.
This is self-reflection time.
Big time. And it's not even necessarily self-reflection, in my opinion. We should have already been doing that. This is the actual point of, okay.
You're done. Well, okay, I shouldn't say self-reflection. You should say it's like you know the things that you now have to let go and release.
Right. It is a big time for releasing. And... you know, because it's also big on divination and magic, use those to your advantage, you know, to even if it means overcome the fears.
Yeah.
You know,
visualizations are going to be huge right now.
Big time.
Challenge accepted.
what are some,
I mean renovations and transforming and all this
change.
I mean, like, it's a huge time for change, and it's acknowledging that change. And really, I mean, it's the... where we are in particular, especially Illinois, Central Illinois right now, or Northern Illinois, Central. I wouldn't want to be there. we see it, and most of America is seeing some change in the natural world around them. I mean, like, the seasons are changing so drastically right now, and it's like, how more obvious could it be that that's what you should be looking at? I mean, again, it's all about this observation with the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the leaves. What's going on with them? What's going on with you? What's happening to that tree out there?
Everything's dying. Everything's changing. But there is no birth without that death.
Winter is coming.
It's right. You cannot be reborn until you let go of old things that have been, like, filling your mind and your heart and your body with shit for so fucking long. Let it go. This is the time, right now, you need to fucking kill them.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta stop running from them. You gotta look at yourself in the mirror. You know, this is the time. Like you said earlier, we're so busy being so selfish that we have to stop, have that altar for our ancestors, okay? Other times we are so busy worried about everybody else's life and who's doing this and da-da-da-da-da-da. No, you know what? This is the time that hard look in the mirror, brutal honesty, and that's why it's scary,
okay?
Because now you're facing your own demons, and you need to fucking let them go. You gotta kill
them. Who are you?
Yeah.
And who are you going to be tomorrow?
Right. And
I will look for you.
It's...
I will find you.
You really have to get in touch. Ooh. You have to get in touch with all kinds of things, even if it means going down to the deepest parts of your emotions to pull things up. And I really like looking at it like that, because even when we were talking about the snake boon, okay, it's also called other things, but again, I really relate to it.
Our last full moon, our last Asbet.
Right, our last podcast. The snake sheds its skin, but it needs water, okay? If a snake tries to shed its skin without water, water is emotion, correct? It's actually kind of painful.
It's a lot harder for it to do anything.
It is. It doesn't come off. It's not nearly as clean for any of those of you out there that know anything about snakes and them molting. Water is very important for them.
Right.
To molt. The same thing with us. In order for us to get rid of, you know, that old self, we need water. We need to get in touch with our own emotions.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why it's going to be so fucking painful when you do it. Because we're so busy running and hiding and trying to disguise. Yes, absolutely. All those things that we don't like about ourselves. That it's just like, that's why we're so busy, you know, yelling about our neighbors and shit. Because we don't like to look at ourselves. You got to do it now. This, the death of self. Not literally, okay? Don't be a dick.
I like that that's the response. Don't be a dick.
Right? Nobody wants to see you die. Just, that's
metaphorical death and rebirth.
Right, right.
That's the big thing.
Right.
And, yeah, besides that, we're not trying to make it seem like it's a big downer or anything, but it's supposed to be exciting. In this way, like this, everyone talks about their New Year's resolution and everything. This is actually the case.
Right.
Like, this is not about, like, making a new workout plan and everything. This is about looking at what have I learned?
Mm-hmm.
How have I grown from this? And what am I going to do to move forward? And ancestors and respecting your ancestors and everything, they are lifetimes of memories and knowledge and learning from them. How can you not pay respect to that?
I think our New Year is so much better than the actual December 31st because of the season and everything. I actually really, really like that this is our New Year, because if you actually listen to what they have to say, you call, you know, on your ancestors and stuff, and
they've
got this
serious
massive information, and then you start to apply it, what the fuck else are you going to do? It's going to start snowing soon, motherfucker. You ain't got nothing else better to do but to sit in the house and start doing some cool shit to yourself. You know?
With yourself.
With yourself. I don't care.
Sure.
Whatever makes you happy and healthy.
Oh, my.
You know, in comparison to waiting until, you know,
the spring. That's not the time.
Or even New Year, you know, right. December 31st. Why not start now? Why not start now?
Yeah.
It's perfect time. So, I'm sorry. I had to go off.
No, that's exactly it. La, la. All right.
Protection is still big.
Make sure you draw your circles. Make sure, I mean, like, I will be, before I start divining with anything, because you can be playing with, you know, us. I haven't done a whole lot with my scrying ball yet.
Yeah.
So that's going to be.
And Ouija's, and that's.
There's
please.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah, I have to. Okay. I have to say this, and everybody knows that I love to fucking go back and forth on this thing over and over again, like killing a horse 14 times. Hollywood is so glamorizing spirit boards right now.
Well, they're in the movies. Well, they're not glamorizing it.
Please, please do not come into my store or any other store that sells talking boards, spirit boards, Ouija boards, whatever you want to call them, and use them as a novelty, fun thing to do on Halloween. Please don't fucking do that. In fact, if you come into my store, I'm going to do my best to talk you out of it. Do not do these types of things unless you are educated.
Dumbass!
You know what the fuck, you've read it, and like what you said, LaFaye, you can pull a strong circle of protection.
Yes.
Please don't do that. And if you do, do not bring your board and your stupid ass into my store, you know, a week
Leaving
later
all your
asking
cooties
me to help
all over
you.
The place.
Don't. I don't want you, okay, in my
Dumbass!
Shop. So you're going to see them over and over again. And if you do go to a Halloween party where they're doing it out of fun, I know that you don't want to be like the loser that's just like, you don't want to play.
Shouldn't be doing that.
Right. Please do yourself a favor. Please, please. And make up something stupid. I don't fucking care. You got your period and you need to go home and get a tampon. I don't give a shit. But excuse yourself from that situation.
Not at the table,
seriously.
Carlos.
Because
yeah, I mean, like, there is the option of creating some protective barriers, even
yeah.
like you were saying with mint last night.
Mm-hmm.
Mint's kind of easy to find. If you're worried that that might be something, well, I like that idea of just being able to rub some mint on you and have
fresh
that
mint.
Carry some blackstone with you, some obsidian, some, I like my petrified
wood. But even
wood.
That kind of stuff, that's an opinion only.
Right.
That's not just, oh, I've got mint bubblegum in my pocket now, I can go play with a Ouija board. No, that's not what we're talking about here.
I'm very hesitant on
Don't
this stuff.
Don't do and spirit boards at Halloween parties unless you're with people who know how to pull a circle.
Yeah.
Please.
Don't
okay.
play with that shit.
I'm done. I'm done with that rant. Okay, I just had to go there because this is the
big
number one time
disclaimer
of
night.
Ah! Okay, what else?
So, well, I really like the idea of divining with water.
Yep.
Around this time. Like, this is going to be a huge, huge, huge thing. And sex magic.
We're not even going to go there
I'm
until
just saying,
next time.
I know. That's
okay.
Next week. But as far as my reading goes, Samhain might be a good time to enjoy some of that because you've got some strong female energy coming down to you.
I'm sexy and I know it.
So, even though we're not necessarily talking about that topic too much, if the ladies are, or not even that, whatever. If anyone out there is feeling that that's a good time to get down and do something after you pay your respects and after you do everything else, enjoy that energy that's coming around.
I want to, you remember how you asked me earlier and you said, you know, I don't have a picture of my ancestor. I don't have, you know, a memento from grandpa or anything
right.
like that. I'm sure that there are people out there that don't even know their family. Or maybe none of their family members have died that they know of. Maybe
right.
they're young, okay? I want to encourage those of you who have that, go visit a nursing home. Even if you have to adopt yourself a grandma or a grandpa for a day to learn even the fun shit, what did they do for Halloween? Or, you know, just find out some stuff. Learn something from somebody older and wiser than yourself.
Yes.
Plus, you're making their fucking night. You know, there's so many people in nursing homes that sit around
don't
on
talk
holidays
to
that they don't do anything. So
stay a while and listen.
That's really not talked about a lot, and I kind of keep pushing it, even though I'm not big on humans and stuff. I still kind of feel bad for the elderly stuck by themselves. And that wisdom, you know,
you have no idea what kind
amazing.
Of crazy people you can meet at some of the nursing homes.
You
I
may
met
be your new best friend.
There are some cool people that just, you know, sit in the corners over there and have the craziest mm-hmm. stories.
Oh,
something else you can do is what LaFaye and I did last night on go to your graveyards. Okay. Leave them as you found them.
If not cleaner,
go with respect. We bring flowers. You know, we like to put flowers on graves, on tombstones and stuff, even though we don't know them. And for me, the older the tombstone, the better.
Somebody's burping.
Okay. One of the dogs.
Animals.
It was really touching to be able to at least pay respect to some of these tombs that, you know, no one has, you know, been around in the longest time. I mean, like, I was weeding some of them just to make sure they stayed clean. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
Right. You know, just, I don't know. I mean, I don't really care. To me, I figure once I'm dead, I'm dead, you know,
and I'll be back,
you know, and, you know, I'm going to come back as a fucking hamster next life. I don't know, you know. But I don't know if some of these spirits really are forgotten, and they very well could be. And who the fuck cares if they've reincarnated three times over? Still go. You know, the energy of the graveyard itself is amazing, and you have no idea. You may be pleasantly surprised with what you leave with. But leave them as you found them, if not cleaner. Have respect. Don't be walking all over. I hate it when I see people just, like, stomping on the tombstones
that are laid in the ground.
It's like, fucking pay attention. I'm just going to lay you down and walk on your face.
And one of the cool ones is, what about dump suppers?
Dump suppers are fun. They're really not for everybody because I think
they're a little intense.
They're intense, and they're not like this rip-roaring fun party-type thing because, again, those kinds of things happen after. But a dumb supper is actually when you set a place at the dinner table for deceased people, okay? They actually get a plate, and they've got food on it, and they, you know, everything, just like your invisible ghost sitting right across from you. But the cool thing is, too, is that I like doing mine either by candlelight or no light at all.
Mm-hmm. And very minimal light.
Yes, and there's no talking. There's no talking at all, and some people will muster, you know, maybe, you know, talking to each other kind of like this, or maybe very
whisper.
Monotone, very, very low. But one of the reasons why we don't talk is because we are actually anticipating, we're hoping to hear something.
Right.
You know, whether it's a small knock or something cool, like what you would see at a seance. Okay, so the less we talk, the better.
The better chance you have
experiencing
something.
So this is not like a normal conversation around the table.
Party.
No, it is not a dinner party. In fact, the last dumb supper that we had last year, I'm surprised that I didn't get yelled at because I was crying. You know, I'm so sorry, you know. I mean, but I wasn't the only one. You could hear several people crying in the background. So it is, to some people may think that it's a little morbid, but again, we're not just thinking of ourselves and our human friends. This is the time where we cut off all of that about ourselves and our human friends and family, and we're only strictly going with the dead people.
Yeah. I think the first time I ever heard about something like a dumb supper was actually in Mexico. Where they would always set a place for their past relatives and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of there, or the meal, or the food that would be put out.
Was that for the Day of the Dead?
Right.
A celebration for Day of the Dead.
Right.
Okay.
So that was, like, the first and only thing I really knew about it until I started getting deeper into this. It's like, oh, this is a thing that a lot of cultures do.
Yeah, they do, you know. And one of them, you know, one of the things that you'll also see that actually makes it quite interesting, especially considering that, you know, you don't have a lot of light and, you know, you're being really quiet, is that you have to walk backwards. You're not allowed to walk forward. So if you got to get up and go do something, you know, even going into the kitchen and
right,
stuff,
you have to go,
everything's
move backwards.
And it could even go even further than that anything that you do, your hands are behind your back. Yeah, it's like everything is backwards. I'm like, oh, let's cut our steak for my dead Uncle Pete. You know,
oh,
with
gosh.
My hands behind my back.
Okay. Not really sure how that goes.
Yeah.
So obviously
you'll
I haven't done public dumb supper by
right.
any means.
But you don't have to do it with other people. You can still completely do a dumb supper on your own.
Solo dumb supper. Actually, that might be part of my Sunday night dinner plans.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
boring.
Even if it's for, and if you have, you know, if you don't want to
bring dead humans into the mix. You can do a dumb supper even for your pet cat that you had to put down, you know, 6 months ago. So you put down a can of fucking tuna fish or whatever your cat's favorite meal was, you know, and
yeah,
you
now
make,
you're gonna make me all sad.
Well, who knows? I mean, it's like, wouldn't that be cool as fuck if you're sitting there and you're thinking about Fluffy so hard and you're talking to it kind of in a very soft whisper or something like that, and then you feel something rub up against your leg? How badass would that be?
I don't know if everyone would call it badass, but I would.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, oh, come jump in my lap, Fluffy. I miss you so much. Please don't eat my face. You know?
Please don't eat my face.
I watch too many scary movies.
Yeah, it's like, that's where you go.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, dumb suppers for anything, anyone dead. Yep. Yeah, kind of thing. So,
ending on that happy note.
Right. All right, I think we've kind of got the gist of so many different things we can do.
There's a lot
this
you can
new
do.
Year. It's our New Year's. It is
time of reflection, or time of rebirth, and
there you go. Don't be a selfish motherfucker. Think of the dead people, not the living people.
Right. The veil is thin.
Right. And if you are going to be farting around with some heavy magic and stuff, protect your ass. Okay.
And do a nice cleansing. Keep your barriers up. Make sure that you thank everything and dispel everything.
Right. Think wisdom, whether it's from real old people or old dead people. Don't care. All right.
And what are you going to let go? And what have you learned? And how are you growing?
Snake woman. Okay.
Okay. So that's. Next episode is kind of exciting.
Yeah. Hey, what was Eileen? Yeah, Eileen, we got your message. I think it was on Facebook.
Yeah, I think so. I tried answering some, but we were talking about this, ironically, a couple days beforehand, planning out what we wanted to do.
Our next episode, we've been bantering about this back and forth for a little while, and this is just for you, Eileen. We are going to be talking some sex magic our next podcast. And this is going to be, it's going to be pretty deep and pretty.
We're not holding anything back.
No. So any of you prude people out there that don't want to talk about anything sexual, you may want to tune out, but I highly doubt that.
And if you got any dirty friends, pass along the episode.
I'm really looking forward to this, from a lot of experience. These things, okay, I didn't say this out loud yet. Okay, this is going to be a lot of fun. So, Eileen, I am not going to answer your question this evening, but you have not been forgotten, and I'm hoping
you're getting a whole episode soon.
Yeah, this whole episode, I'm dedicating it to Eileen. Okay?
that's a very special episode to be dedicated to.
This one's for you, babe. All right. Anything else you want to say besides we miss them and we've only talked to them two months. We've only spoken to these guys twice this month, but
we did warn you guys. October is
crazy,
but you know, like the rest of the season goes, once the winter months come around, we're going to be a lot more indoors and have a lot more time to chat.
Yeah. I got some fun things on my mind too. So who knows? All right, guys. Well, next time we also have a little bit of homework before we talk about the funky bow chicka bow wow stuff. So
yes, we have our.
Through your homework before we get to the good stuff. But other than that, have a safe and happy Samhain. We love you. We love your family and your pets, whether they're
past
living or dead.
Present.
It doesn't matter. We love all of you guys. And keep your comments coming, because we really appreciate it. All right, guys. You take care. This is Feather.
And LeFay.
And thanks again for listening to Season of the Witch.